Our lesson today is found in the second book of Kings, the 11th and the 12th chapter, concerning the wicked reign of Athaliah and her death. And when Athaliah saw that her son Ahaziah was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Now this woman, Athaliah, she was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. She was a wicked woman. As she had taught her sons even when she was reigning that they should destroy even the house of God. And they took many parts of the buildings of the temple and they used them for the temple of Baal. Now this woman, Athaliah, as she was a daughter of a queen, a daughter of a king, and she likewise had a king for a son. And now she arose and she slew all the seed royal. The Bible doesn't say how many she slew. It doesn't give us any account of how many children Ahaziah had, her son. She slew then all the children of Ahaziah, who likewise had been put to death by Jehu. This woman, she then was a grandmother to these children. It's hard to understand that a woman of such a sex would be so barbarous as to kill all these children. Yous that are grandmothers amongst my hearers, I've seen this in life myself. A grandmother sometimes thinks more of the grandchildren than they do of their own. They're very affectionate to them. And now this grandmother, instead of being affectionate and nursing them, she arose and she slew them all. She did this because she wanted to reign. She wanted to be queen. She wanted to be the ruler over the land. She also did it in defiance and in enmity against God. God had said that he would see that David would have a light always in Jerusalem. And now she thought by destroying the seed royal, she struck back at God. She was used by the devil for this purpose so that David would not have any seed left, that God could not fulfill his promise in bringing forth the Christ out of the seed of David. This was the aim of the devil, and this was the tool that he used. But God seen what this woman had in mind to do, and God, in his wonderful providence, spared one of Ahaziah's children. He used Jehosheba for this. She was a sister to Ahaziah. She was married to a God-fearing man called Jehoiada. He was the priest. This was by the special providence of God that these two people were married. To think that Joram would give his daughter unto a God-fearing man as a wife, where he was such a wicked person. This Joram, he had been king in the place of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had died, and he had left his sons much riches and much treasure and given them cities throughout Judah. But he gave the throne to Joram. And when Joram came to be king, he destroyed all his brethren. He killed them all. It's awful to think what went on in these times, in the biblical times, how little they thought of life and how quick it was snatched out. And now this daughter of this king, likewise a sister to Ahaziah, as she took one of the children, she stole it from amongst the children, and she carried it into the house of the Lord and brought it into the bedchamber with her nurse and placed it there. She then rescued this child out of the hands of this murderous Athaliah so that this child was not killed. It was spared and rescued as a branch out of the burning. So this then was the seed that the Christ was to come forth of. And God took care of it in this wonderful way. He put it into the heart of this woman to do this. So this child then was in the house of the Lord 6 years. In the 7th year, it was to be made king. When we consider this, this must have been a babe. It wasn't even a year old when this woman snatched this child in this way and hid it. Now, this child knew nothing of what God did for it already while it was a babe. It was concealed from this child because it had not any knowledge to realize this. And now this child was the seed, I said, out of which the Christ was to come forth. God will take care of his seed. Now, this woman thought that she could destroy the purposes, the promises, and the counsel that God had designated concerning David. And that's an impossibility. She could not do what she intended to do. And now this child was, as I said, the seed, a wonderful seed out of which Christ was to come forth. God will see to it that he will have a seed in this world that will continue to the end of time. This spiritual seed, sometimes it's brought very low. When you consider the time of Elijah, he thought that he was the only one left. This seed out of which the Christ was to come forth was only in this child that was the only one that was left. So with this spiritual seed, it is sometimes hidden. It is sometimes concealed. It is sometimes sunk so low that you would say there isn't any more left. But God will see to it, as I said, that this spiritual seed will remain. Now with this child, this child was snatched as a brand out of the burning. The devil was there to take away the life of this child, too, if it possibly could, but it couldn't. So with every one of this spiritual seed, they are likewise snatched as a brand out of the burning. The devil goes round about as a roaring lion seeking to destroy this seed if he possibly could. And now this young child, it was taken into the temple of the Lord. It was nursed there. It was fed there. It was brought up there. So likewise, this spiritual seed. God brings it into his house. God sees to it that it's nourished, that it's fed. God takes care of every one of his dear children. And now sometimes it was like with this child. It knew nothing about it. It was all hidden from this child. So it is many times with this spiritual seed. It is hid from the world, from the people. They can't see any difference in some of these, that they are a spiritual seed. And sometimes, many times, it's even hid from the person himself. God has begun a good work of grace in that person's soul. It's a spiritual seed. And it would like to know whether the work is of God or not. It's so hidden, it's so concealed, they can't even believe it for themselves that they belong to this spiritual seed. Have I some listening to me like this? Oh, could I but know, could I but believe? Oh, is it true within? Is God at work in my soul? It's so hidden, it's so concealed for themselves that they haven't any comfort, they haven't any faith to accept it and to realize it, that they have been distinguished above other creatures, that the life of God is there. This child then was concealed from all the people. It was hidden in the house of the Lord for 6 years, hidden from Athaliah. And Athaliah, she did reign over the land. As I said, she was a very wicked woman. It says in the book of Chronicles that she even made her sons go into the temple of the Lord and take whatever they could get out of it, even the riches and the treasures that were in it, and bring it into the house of Baal. This woman, she was of the house of Ahab, and she raised up this worship of Baal in the land of Judah. I don't want my hearers to be confused. Last week I said to you, Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel, and it doesn't seem as if Israel evermore served Baal. We are not in Israel at the present time. We are speaking to you about the tribe of Judah and of Benjamin. These two tribes were separated, as you know, from the other ten. And this worship of Baal was still going on in this Jerusalem in the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. This woman had raised this worship up. She was behind it. And now, she being so wicked and so evil, as she reigned over the land, what a wicked reign it must have been. But now, when the seventh year came, we find that Jehoiada, a priest, a God-fearing man, he was going to start to reveal that there was a king and that he should sit upon the throne. Now this man, Jehoiada, he lived to be 130 years of age. And he and his wife were the subjects that were used to spare the life of Joash. And now in the seventh year, he gathered together all those that were civil rulers, that were ecclesiastical rulers, and that likewise the priests, the Levites, those that labored in the temple, he gathered them together. He brought them together and he made a covenant with them. He spake to them about the wicked reign of Athaliah and told them that if they kept secret, if they would swear to it, then he would show them the one that was supposed to be the king over the land. And they agreed. So he showed unto them the king. He didn't do this of his own self, by hearers. They believed this man, Jehoiada. He was a God-fearing man. They had confidence in him. They didn't think that he just fixed this up himself and that he wanted to rule over the people and reign in the land, no. But he brought out the king's son, and they could see it on his features that he was a son of Ahaziah. They had all the trust in this man, Jehoiada. And now Jehoiada, he ordered them that they should make a guard to protect the king and to protect the temple. He didn't want this young king to be insulted, and he didn't want the temple to be profaned. Therefore, he gathered together unto him all the Levites, and he was going to use them as a guard to protect the king when they would bring him into the temple to crown him to be king. David, when he instituted the service in the temple, David had every week a new course of Levites taking up the work in the temple. They did the service of the Lord. But Jehoiada, he knew that every Sabbath day, a new course of Levites came in. But the old course that had served for a week, they remained that day till evening. So that there were two courses of Levites on the Sabbath day to take care of the two services that were held in the temple. And now he wanted these courses of Levites to be guards. And he supplied them with weapons which were in the temple, which David had placed there. Whether they were David's own weapons or whether he had gathered these from the enemies and had dedicated them unto the Lord and placed them in the temple is unknown. But there was a magazine in the temple where they got these weapons from, swords and spears and sabers. And he gave every one of these weapons. And he put them in special places, in avenues which led to the temple and also in the temple proper, all to protect what he was going to do. As you realize, my hearers, that this was going to be a revolution. Because Athaliah, she was the queen, she was reigning, and now he was going to put somebody to be king. Now, he wasn't so fond of the revolution, but he was insistent on having the proper person as a king. So he had all this arranged, and then they brought in this boy. He was only 7 years of age. And when they brought him in, then they went forward with the ceremony of anointing him to be king. They took a crown, a rib band of gold, and they put it around his head. They gave him the testimony. They anointed him, and the people all began to shout and to clap their hands, "God save the king." And this was typical of the anointing of Jesus Christ as king. They gave him this crown. This crown was in the temple. It was waiting for someone to be king. They took it and they placed it on his head. They gave him the testimony. What do you think that was? That was the Bible, the Word of God as they had it up to that time. They placed that in his hands. He was to read therein every day, and he was to rule and to govern the people according to that word. They anointed him. This was as Christ was to be anointed. He was anointed from all eternity, anointed above all his fellows. This anointing was the gift of the Spirit to qualify him to be king and to rule over the people. And now the people, they all clapped their hands and they shouted, "God save the king." This was in approbation of what was done. They accepted him as king. They believed that God had placed this young boy upon the throne. And they were happy. They were filled with joy because God had given them a king. He had been brought back, you would say, from the dead. My hearers, this ceremony was a very solemn thing. And now, when this noise was going on in the temple, and the people all shouting, Athaliah, whose home wasn't very far away from the temple, she heard this. Before I continue, I would like to reveal to you that even in this ceremony, what took place with this Joash likewise takes place in the heart of a sinner. When God sets his kingdom up in the heart of a sinner here on earth, there's joy in heaven above amongst the angels. They're happy to see that one more has been gathered to the number of elect that shall glorify God. The church on earth, likewise, when it realizes that God has begun a good work of grace in a sinner's soul, and if that takes place amongst you, there'll be joy amongst God's people in our midst. They'll be so glad to see that the work of God is being carried on amongst us. Oh, I do wish that this would take place, my hearers. And furthermore, there will be joy in the heart of that sinner. Believe me, if he is given or she is given to believe that God has begun to set his kingdom up in there. Oh, they were happy. They were filled with joy, these people, because God had given them a king. True, he was only 7 years of age. He had no ability, no intellectuality to be able to rule, but he had a wonderful guardian. He had a God-fearing man who was going to be his counselor and was going to teach him and lead him in the right way. And therefore the people were happy too, for they knew that God was working again and that he would restore back in the land the true religion, the true worship of God. And now when this woman, Athaliah, heard the noise going on in the temple, as she came to the temple, it doesn't seem that she knew anything about what was going on. She seemed to be abandoned. She seemed to be neglected. It seemed that nobody cared about her. And now when she heard this noise, she came running to see what was going on. It probably was in the mind of Jehoiada, after that he had anointed this young boy to be king, to call her to accounts. But she came herself. She came running. And when she came into the house of the Lord, she seen the king standing by a pillar, as it was the manner of kings to do. And the people were shouting and the trumpeters were blowing. And she realized that they had anointed this young man to be king, this boy. And when she seen this, we read that she cried out, "Treason, treason!" Josephus says she cried out, "Kill him, kill him!" This is what she wanted him to be done with, because she was the queen. Now this woman who had went to the extent of killing so many children, and when she seen this take place, she was the one that shouted the loudest, "Treason, treason." Why, she was a traitor herself. She was a murderer. But this is commonly the case. Those that are guilty of some sin like this, they are the ones that shout the loudest when it takes place by somebody else. So it was with her. She wanted him to be destroyed. But what Jehoiada was doing was the most highest act of justice that could be done, because he was to be the king. And she was looking for the destruction of this young boy. And now, he had given commandment, Jehoiada, that she should not be slain in the temple, and that if anybody followed her and went with her, they should be slain too. So she fled. She fled back to the palace. She went the back way. She went through the stalls where they kept the horses. But they pursued after her. They laid hands upon her and they slew her there. They killed her in the place where they kept horses. This woman, Athaliah, she was then killed in justice and in righteousness by the commandment of Jehoiada. He didn't do anything wrong when he done this, my hearers, because she was a murderer, she was a traitor, she deserved everything that she got. And now when this Jehoiada had all the people together in the temple with him, then Jehoiada, he entered into a covenant with these people that they should be the Lord's people. Between the people and the king, between the Lord and the people. This man Jehoiada, he wanted these people to serve God, to worship God, and to be God's people. He had them all in this place, and it was a presence of mind that he did this at this present time. What a mercy, my hearers. Oh, I wish that every one of us would be like that. That every one of us would enter into a covenant and say, we will be the Lord's people. We will serve him. We will worship him. We will love him. That this was a great blessing for these people. That they went into a covenant and became the Lord's people. Jehoiada then, as the priest, he was solemnly given the authority to rule and to reign in the place of this young boy until he became of age. This boy then, he had a very good guardian. This, what I've been speaking about, Athaliah, was a type likewise of the devil. He likewise with his kingdom shall be destroyed. And so she was destroyed from reigning over this part of the Jewish nation. They then solemnly entered into a covenant, and the people, they rejoiced. They were glad that this had taken place. Josephus says they held a feast for many days because God had given them a king. Athaliah then was slain. She was done away with, and the city was in quietness. Oh, what a blessing it was then for these people that they now had a king to reign and to rule over them. And now we come to the 12th chapter, and we find that this boy, he was 7 years of age when he became king, and he reigned 40 years to Jerusalem. Only 40. He became 47 years of age then. And now while he was under the tutorship or the tuition of this man Jehoiada, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was a young boy, so he couldn't act in the place of a man who with the mind of a person that has achieved wisdom and understanding when they grow up. So this boy then, he was under a good tutor. There's a lesson here, my hearers. It's a blessing for young people, and especially for a young man that seems to be industrious and that is looking forward to get ahead in the world, that he has someone like Jehoiada, someone that teaches him to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. When we have somebody to teach us like this, then we can expect that it will go well with us, and that we will be comforted in our life by what we are doing, if we do it with an eye to the glory and to the honor of God. Oh, many a young person, many a young child is left in a state. They're left a lot of money, they're left a lot of property, and they're left even in their youth to use it the way they want to. And many times it's used in a bad way. Soon the riches, the wealth, and the honor that they have had is gone. You can take an example of the prodigal son. When his father gave him what he had coming to him, he went and he spent it in a riotous way. He just wasted it. How often do we not see it in life? Young people receive an inheritance, an estate of their parents, they're left it. No stipulation in the will that they have to be a certain age before they can get it. And while they are young, they just waste it away. There's no blessing upon it. But if we have someone like Jehoiada, then you may be sure we will use it to the glory of God. It's a mercy to have such people around us. And it's a mercy for a young person to be willing and to likewise obey someone that instructs them in this way. Well, we have to be willing too. And now Jehoiada, he reigned, in other words. This young man then, Joash, he was king. And now, he had lived in the temple 6 years. And now this temple was the temple of Solomon. It was a beautiful edifice. And Solomon, he had spent so much money and had built this temple so strongly and of the best materials. But still, in the course of years, it began to decay. As I said, likewise, the sons of Athaliah, they had broken down parts of the buildings. They had taken this for the temple of Baal, and they likewise had spent a lot of the money that they had taken out of the treasure for their own worship. And now we find that this temple is in decay. This man, Joash, he had love for the temple because he had been kept there for 6 years. He had a certain amount of affection for the house of God. And when he seen it in a state of decay, he called upon the Levites and the priests that they should repair the breaches that they found in the temple. And he commanded them to go out to make a collection of all their acquaintances and take in the money so that they could use this money to fix the temple. They, the people of Israel, were commanded by law to give a half a shekel a year towards the support of the temple. And whenever they gave an offering and they dedicated something or they made a vow, then they usually brought some money for this purpose. And this money was given unto the priest and unto the Levites. They were sustained and maintained by this. But now many of them, they were very lax in giving. And this Joash, he knew this, so he commanded these priests to go out and collect it. They should go to the homes and they should collect it of all their acquaintances and they should use this money. But this was a failure. Whether the priest had no desire to do it, or whether when they did collect it, they used it dishonestly, or they thought the temple was still in good shape, it didn't need any fixing. So they didn't go ahead and fix it. He had commanded them to do this. And it seems that they neglected it for a very long time, because it was in the 23rd year of his reign when actually something was going to be done about it. So actually he was 30 years of age then already. He had a heart for the temple. He wanted to see that the temple would be repaired. But nothing was done. So he called in Jehoiada, the priest, and asked him why that the breaches were not being repaired on the temple. So they took an oath with the priest and with the Levites that they shouldn't collect any more money like they were doing. And these priests and Levites, they said they wouldn't have anything to do with repairing the breaches. So this Jehoiada, we can excuse him being lax in this because he was of great age already. But the commentary had a little note about this man, Jehoiada. It said, when God was going to start a reformation, we had Melanchthon and we had Luther. Melanchthon, he was a gifted man, filled with wisdom and understanding. But he was not very zealous and not very active concerning the reformation. He would sit back and wait and see what would take place. But now Luther, he couldn't stand in the shadow of this man, Melanchthon, as far as his wisdom was concerned. But he had such a spirit and such fire in him to go ahead with this reformation that God was with him. So this commentary comes back that this Jehoiada was like Melanchthon. He wasn't very active. He wasn't very zealous in this respect. But this Joash, he wanted it done. Now, you would think that there was something going on in this young man, Joash, because he loved the temple and he wanted it repaired. But the history tells us that at the end of his career as king, then he departed so from God. He then decided in another manner to get money together. So they took a big chest and they drilled a hole in the center of it, and they put this outside of the temple. First it was in the court, and when the people came in, then they dropped the money in this chest. And the people, they thought this was wonderful. I guess they thought it was an odd thing to have a chest like this, and this is what attracted them, and they filled this chest with money. And every time it was full, well, then they would take the money out, and they would count it and put it in bags. And they would use this money for the repairing of the breaches of the temple. And this is usually the case, you know, with the church. Everybody doesn't have a beautiful church, and everybody doesn't want to support the church, and everybody don't care whether the church looks nice or whether it's run down. Church work, they have very little heart for most of the time. And now, these people, they contributed graciously so that instead of now the Levites and the priests taking care of the repairing of the breaches, they gave it to the carpenters, to the masoners, and to those that did the work. And they found that these men were faithful, that they didn't steal any of the money, they used it for the right purpose. So they repaired then the breaches of the temple. Joash had this done. But now Jehoiada, this man, he died, 130 years of age. And they buried him in Jerusalem, in the sepulcher of the kings, because he had done good unto Israel. He had done good before the people and for God. He had been a good man. And he was worthy of being buried in a place where the kings were buried, because he had been like a king for somewhere around two-thirds of the reign of Joash. He had reigned. Joash then had reigned 40 years, so he must have reigned somewhere around 26 years in the place of Joash. Joash listened to his counsel and did as he told him to do. But now when he died, then we find that Joash, he departed from God. We find the princes coming into Joash and talking to him and congratulating him that he was brought from under the bondage of this Jehoiada, as if this man Jehoiada was a cruel master and a cruel man. Oh no, he had done that which was right in the sight of God. And now these princes, when they came in, they wanted Joash to do as they wanted. They wanted him to restore the groves. They wanted him to restore the Baal worship. And he listened to them. You can't understand this. After being under the tutorship of such a man for so many years, that he willfully departed with this these princes and what they suggested. And when this took place, then God was against this man, and God raised up unto him adversaries. They came and they plundered the temple. They took everything that he had, his sons, his daughters, his wife, and the money that he had. He tried to buy this king of Assyria, Hazael, off. And that succeeded for 1 year, but the next year he come back again, this king of Assyria. And then he took everything with him. And now this Joash, he was warned by God by the mouth of prophets. They told him, but he wouldn't listen. And Jehoiada, he had died, and he had left his son Zechariah in his place. And now, in the midst of the temple, while Joash was there, this Zechariah, he prophesied, and he spake in the name of the Lord. He spake against Joash and what he had been doing, and that God would surely visit him, and he became angry. He had this son of Jehoiada put to death. How could you understand these things, my hearers? You'd think he would have had so much love for Jehoiada and for his seed. And here he has this Zechariah, the prophet, put to death. And when he was being put to death, he even cried out and warned this Joash that God would surely visit him for that. And God surely did, my hearers. To conclude it, two of his own servants who loved Jehoiada, who probably were related to him, two of his own servants, Joash's servants, they arose and they smote him in his bed He had been wounded in the battle with the Syrians, and he was lying on his bed. And they came into his bedroom, and they slew him. They killed him because of what he had done to the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, we'll take up the next lesson, the Lord willing. That's all for today.